At the close of every year, the seasons change, and that causes new opportunities to reevaluate what's happened during the year. As we are coming to a close here at Creator's Playbook of the year, not the podcast, we are taking a little bit of time to celebrate with our families here in the United States. We have a couple of holidays coming up, but we did not want to miss this week's episode. Mm-mm. So we decided that we are going to spend just a little bit of time and share with you guys some of the things that we do to warm up before we start recording our podcast episodes.
And
sorry. Please. No, interrupt me.
Also, kind of opening up a way of how we not just warm up, but even mid-podcast in our recordings, how we open up the gates of creativity, how we create an environment or a conversation that influences more stimulating imagery that causes a flow of creativity that influences better plot development, better character and world building, mm-hmm. all that stuff. And what we've come to realize over the course of this podcast is little things make a big difference.
Yes. And I think that that's where the collaborative aspect of storytelling really gets its magic. We are Creator's Playbook, the podcast that inspires creativity for storytellers. And I cannot wait to show you a little bit behind the curtain. So, welcome to today's episode. Robbie, we started doing our little warm-up games a long time ago.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy.
I would probably say that the warm-up games that we play before we start recording episodes are some stories that we've come up with that I am really, really fond of, that we've kept behind the scenes.
It's crazy because there are times where I reminisce on some of our episodes and mm-hmm. thinking, oh man, we came up with such a good story on that one. I'd really love to sit down and write a short story. And then I pause and think about it and I realize, oh no, that was a warm up. That was never an episode. Because we've done like a lot. I think we've done like 50 warm ups, and in each warm up, we come up with a brand new story with a conflict and sometimes a solution. It's crazy.
It's so much fun. And for a little bit of context, this is a podcast, as you are well aware. If this is your first time listening to Creator's Playbook, thank you so much. I apologize that this is a little bit of a shorter episode. And if you've been with us for a while, we love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. But as you know, this podcast is a little bit improv. We have our structured episode that, as each of us take turns hosting the episodes, we do all of our research. So we have that research portion, and then we have the storytelling portion where we get to read the story prompts that we've written in preparation of the episode. And then it's improv from that point. We use the experience that we have in storytelling and we put together these plots. But that improv sometimes doesn't really come naturally. It's like all things in creativity, like kind of like when you're an artist and you're getting ready to paint a beautiful portrait. It really helps to sit down with a sketchbook and start sketching out wireframes, start sketching out placement and format and shape. And that's what we do in this podcast to get us in the mode of telling a story. We play these little warm-up games and they're really fun. Robbie, what kind of warm-up games do we typically play before we start one of our episodes?
Oh man, I should have prepared this answer. we've done quite a few. We've done a warm-up game where it's very simple. We give one person a word of whatever comes to mind. And once we get that word, we have to come up with a person, place, or thing. Mm-hmm. And we develop that thing, whether it's character building, world building, or something along those lines. Could even be a system of magic. And we talk about it. We use a little bit of word painting. And then we return the favor. Steven will give me a word. I create a character. I give him a word. He creates a building on a faraway planet. Mm-hmm. And then as we create these things, the only rule is, it eventually has to form into some kind of story. And
it has to connect.
Yeah. In every case.
Sometimes they are out there. They are so bizarre.
Yeah. I'll never forget. And I think I've mentioned this before, but the canteen that pours sand or ants. And if it pours ants, it predicts like the apocalypse. It was like the weirdest story we ever came up with.
It was pretty much No Bones Day before No Bones Day existed. was this concept for a book.
Yep.
I think one of the ones that I remember, actually, there's several ones that I go back to that I really, really am fond of. We did this really cute story about dreams and nightmares and this like little stuffed teddy bear.
Oh, that artichoke. Was,
artichoke.
Yes, artichoke. I remember that one. It's the probably top three.
We actually do have plans for a lot of the warm-ups that we've done in the past that we've never released.
They're all recorded.
They are. One of my favorite warm-ups that we did, we actually did not record because it was the very first warm-up that we ever did for the show. Robbie and I were really struggling on getting into the mode and into the energy of making this podcast. And he suggested, well, why don't we just play a game first? And we ended up creating the story about an apocalyptic world where this giant ball travels the entire circumference of the world every, what was it, like every year it would circle around the world once? No, it was like a spouting volcano, just like this giant, like world-dividing trench that just inched around the world every single time.
That's right. The column of fire that circled around the planet spewing up from the ground. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
And we just had some really cool characters. One character was a robot based off of a teapot.
That's right.
And they're just trying to keep this little garden alive. That was the entire story.
During the apocalypse.
Was just keeping this little garden alive.
It's funny how many of our stories turn towards the apocalypse. My favorite was the city that the world was ending. Someone had detonated some kind of bomb and it was spreading all over the planet or an asteroid hit the planet or whatever. And the story takes place in a city that had frozen time. Mm-hmm. And so the story takes place like 100 years after the bomb had set off, and the horizon was the glow of the bomb just inching towards them every year.
Just frozen there.
Yeah. And they get a signal within the frozen zone. And it freaks them all out. And so
might be actually somebody still out there.
Yep. And they might have a way to either fix the problem or get off planet. And so they launch an expedition to go into the frozen zone. And it was really good. That perhaps is my favorite, absolute favorite. Mm-hmm.
We did another one that was a casino in space that was called Bubble City or something like that.
Yeah.
And the AI computer that ran the entire casino decided that she was ready to retire. So she quit and started another casino within I guess it was a full space station, but she decided to start a casino within the space station, and she renamed herself Roulette. And just these random stories.
One
of the other games that we play, actually this is a newer game that Ravi came up with just several weeks ago, is he has one of us come up with a phrase. The phrase could be, actually, I'll just use an example that we did just last week. One of the phrases was, the oil lamp is going out. And I think that was that my phrase?
That was your phrase to me.
To you.
To me,
right?
Yes. Yep.
And so I would give an opening phrase, and then Robbie took the phrase, and then he just expounded on it a little bit more and gave it a little bit more life. And then he passed it back to me. And then I had to tell a story based off of this further idea that he developed. And then, you know, vice versa. We give everybody a chance to play one of the games. Actually, I'm just barely thinking of another warm-up that we did on our four-way episode with you, me, Michael, Sarah. We did a full comedy. Actually, that
we
ended
recorded
up in
it.
The episode,
it recorded,
didn't it?
Yeah, you can actually go
that
listen
end
to that
of the
warm-up.
Episode.
Yep.
If you want to know what it's like, that's exactly what it's like.
Unexpected Letters is a full demonstration. At the end of Unexpected Letters, you can look at one of our warm-ups that we use to get into the mood.
Yeah, 32 years late. That was episode 50.
Yep.
Wow, that was such a long time ago.
It was such a fun warm-up that we decided to include it.
We actually published it. And that's what, you know, we wanted to do something special for episode 50. All four of us were on the episode and we included the warm-up.
Yep.
Wow.
It was good.
Wow, wow, wow. I apologize. I know that a lot of this doesn't have a lot of context. So what we're going to do is we are going to demonstrate by recording our warm-up with you.
And guys, just with that, just so you know, this is just for today. This isn't a new format. We just wanted something quick and easy to be able to edit and record so we can get to our holiday as quickly as possible. But we'll be right back to the normal format starting next week. Now, just to give everyone a bit of an idea of what it is and why we do this, a huge principle of storytelling, no matter what the format or medium, whether it's writing, film, video games, whatever you choose, the principle is show, don't tell. And as a creator podcast, you know, trying to help other people tap into their own creativity, I've generated warmups that essentially encourage that technique. Mm-hmm. And this is an evolution of one of those techniques. And the specific purpose of this technique is to inspire your fellow creator who's creating a story with you. It's to keep it open-ended, as well as providing enough imagery to encourage them to bounce off of your ideas. And it's a very useful way to create a high creative brainstorming environment, mm-hmm. yeah. if you will. And to simplify the format that Stephen was talking about, the idea is you come up with a prompt, whether it's a single word or a phrase, the other person will take that, they will generate a simple concept or idea, whether it's a situation or a reveal of some kind in a story. And then the other person has to take that and explain it as if they were painting the story, explaining it as though mm-hmm. it were happening.
Right. And one of the things that we've been really trying to emphasize in recording this podcast is what we call word painting, where if we have an idea of where we want to take a story during the podcast, we encourage each other to, instead of explaining it, to show it.
Yeah.
And so that's what this warm-up is all about. It's about grabbing quick ideas and then actually telling that story, but telling it in a way that's fun to listen to, but also gives us a lot of flexibility as storytellers to think through what we're saying as we're saying it so that we can weave that narrative together.
Absolutely. And just last thing I was going to say, it's important to remember that this is a life skill. This is a way to be, as odd as it sounds, more interesting in conversations. It is a habit when interacting with people socially to just tell the story. But if you can find ways to make it more immersive, it actually makes people want to listen to you more. And it also can make them funnier. There's a lot of things you can do by showing and not telling.
And it's fun.
It's fun.
It really is. These are great exercises just to get your brain going. And that's all that they're there for. And sometimes you're going to spark an idea that you might come back to at some point, because I've come back to these. Well, shall we get started, Robbie?
Let's do it.
Who's going first?
Okay. How about, you know, I'll go first. I'll give you a prompt, then you give me the idea, and then I'll do the thing.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Your prompt is going to be...
Well, this is your prompt.
Sorry, my prompt to you is a moonlit road in between the mountains.
Okay. A moonlit road in between the mountains. Okay. Your re-envisioned prompt, Robbie, is the perilous road to their destination could only be found during the eclipse.
Okay. This is good. And explaining this to the audience, the re-envisioned prompt works best when there is some kind of indication of a reveal or a thought. You see, that's kind of like an aha idea. Now, my objective is to take what Stephen said, this idea referring to the eclipse, and I will now turn this into something that's a little more showy. I'll paint it, and you can see what a difference it makes. Okay, can you tell me one more time what it was you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the re-envision prompt is the perilous road could only be found during the eclipse.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. And the way I like to do this is I also like to make it sound natural, as if we were just mid-episode. Mm-hmm. So try not to get into a narration voice, but to just talk like I do normally. All right. Well, this will be interesting. I kind of imagine an old rickety Beetle where it's getting a little bit rusty in certain parts, you know, on the door, the back, the top, and the roof.
Oh, like the Love Bug, that kind of Beetle.
Yes, yes. Bug, these cute little cars. And I see one of the lights have popped out. It's one of those things where they got the car on, it's rumbling. And it's the kind of car when it rumbles, like it's visibly shaking. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy in a black trench coat with this very stylish gray fedora. And he's actually leaning against the car very casually, with what, you know, one foot hooked around the other, leaning against it, holding a map, and his whole body's shaking. And he's got like a little cigarette in his mouth that's kind of glowing a little bit. And it's like, you know, like the little tip is like dangling, sending out little spirals of smoke. And he's totally chill. But next to him is this smaller man who is pacing back and forth and stopping and looking up at the sky. And he's constantly looking up at the sky and then looking back down at the ground, looking up at the sky, looking back down at the ground. And in the sky, we see total clouds and the faint silver glow bleeding through that cloudy blanket that we know is the moon, the familiar cast of moonlight through clouds. But when he moves his eyes down, we see something far less calm, the antithesis of the sky. It is strange. It's like fire and blackness and trees and shifting motion, almost like a soupy lake that's twisting and turning. And it dives down in this valley, forming this massive body of water. And on the other end of this, far over, almost to the point where the eye can't see, there's this little glowing light. And you can see the faint little stretches of like these little pinpoints that look like buildings. And he looks back at the guy who's very calm, very casually sitting against the vehicle. And he's like, well, what's happening? What's going on? And then just in that moment, the clouds part and the beam of light cuts through this lake of strange twisting darkness. And what we see is a silvery path winding, turning, twisting, and also in sharp angles, turning one direction or another, going through this lake, connecting all the way to the other end. And the tall, gangly guy, you know, quickly looks at that, takes his little cigarette and like, I don't know how this would work. Maybe it's not a cigarette. Maybe it's a fake cigarette and there's a pen on one end. He turns it over and he draws the path really quick, hops in the car and he's like, let's go. We got 2 hours to do this.
Wait, he doesn't have to use a cigarette to draw it. He could have a pen and a sketchbook or something.
I don't know what it is. It's magic. It's a wand. I don't know. Give me time to world build on that another time.
Okay.
It's a magical thing. There you go. That's the word paint. So it's a magical path that's made, not really original moonlight revealing the path, but I like these two characters. This really tall,
I am getting a little bit of, now that I think about it, a little bit of like a Shang-Chi path reveal type moment.
Yep. Very definitely a trope. So I was dialing into that a little bit.
I actually almost feel like you could do a whole episode on that one.
Probably.
You know, path revealed.
We'll have to look into that. Okay, I'll write that one down. That would be a good one to do.
For some reason, it also kind of reminds me of like the speak friend and pass.
Yeah, yep. Akali, I know there's dozens of examples. One where the moon is literally what shows the path. I know Dragon Prince on Netflix. They had an episode where the path was revealed through moonlight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my challenge then to you, Robbie, just to finish up this story prompt, then would be, Why are they looking for this path? And what prompted them to find it in the first place?
That's a good question. These two seem like an odd pair. One is very calm, tall. The other one's very short, nervous. And they're driving in this little dinky vehicle. But I get a sense that these two are very much involved in magic, which is why I wanted to make a thing about this. What we thought was a cigarette was actually some kind of magical wand. And I get the sense that these two are
okay.
What we'll call freelancers. And I would say that this city that they need to get to is very hard to get to. And there's only rumors on how to get to it. But we'll go ahead and say that one day they got a letter in the mail that was embossed with gold glowing letters. And it was a job. It was a job to solve a crime that only they could solve, to the mysterious and illustrious city. And it was revealed to them how to get to the city. So they're being hired to go to this legendary city that no one knows how to get to because it's surrounded by a lake of demons, I guess. I don't know.
So they're not paranormal investigators. They are paranormal detectives.
Yeah, there you go. Paranormal detectives. Someone on we'll call it Heaven's Landing, borrowing from one of your episode titles.
Oh, Feather's Landing?
Feather's Landing, yep. Heaven's Landing. And the whole, they don't have crime there. So when something does happen, they're like, well, I heard about these two famous detectives in the,
get them on the scene.
Send them a, let's get them on the ringer. Bring them in.
Ma, I don't know how to use your dial phone.
The dial phone? Heck yes.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
Okay, you ready for yours?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, give me the prompt and I'll give you a sketch.
Okay. She lost her favorite coin.
Okay. All right. Oh man. Wouldn't it be crazy? Okay, so we know they're traveling through the forest. And it's just a small group of them at this point. They've gone through all kinds of trials and tribulations. At least half the group has died. And they're being guided by this coin. And I think this would be a great point where she loses the coin at the pinnacle. This magical coin that was guiding them, it's gone. She reaches into her pocket and it's not clear if someone stole it or if someone... she lost it along the way. Maybe she wasn't being careful. Her grandmother always said, "Now you be careful with that coin." And yeah, she loses it. I don't know.
Okay, but the coin is being used as a guide.
Something like that. Now make it sound better, Stephen.
Make it sound better.
Better.
Bitter, better, butter. Okay, let's see. So we have Evelyn, and you know, she's just sitting on her couch. Nothing new, nothing special. When she gets a phone call from Jared, and Jared says, "Hey, Evelyn, I have a client here. Our client needs to get through the Jaw of the Forest, and we need your services." And of course, Evelyn, being the kind of person that she was, always says yes, but not this time. She didn't want to go this time because the storm was on the horizon. You could feel it in the air. And of course, she checked the weather report, and sure enough, by 3 a.m., that storm was going to be wicked. And of course, it was always advised to never go out, but the money was just too good. Evelyn had to go. So she agreed, and she met them 10 p.m. to start their journey through the jaws of the forest. And for Evelyn, this was always an easy task, because Evelyn had a coin that all she had to do was hold on to it in her pocket. And the pulses of the coin would guide her forward or left or right. She could just feel the energy like a compass. And that's how she got through. That's exactly how every time she was asked to guide somebody through the jaws of the forest, she would just grab what she needed to grab, got her gear, and got them through. But unfortunately for their... No. I'm not going to transition that way. That's really gross.
Gross.
So, okay, Robbie, I have four characters. And they don't believe, I think we're in a state where they just don't believe that Evelyn is going to get them through. The thing is that there is no clear path. The forest is constantly changing left and right. You think that you've been one way, you even tie a scarf in a tree, you'll never see that scarf again. That's what happens when you walk through the jaws of the forest. But there was one way to get through, and that is where Evelyn came into play. They don't believe that Evelyn has the sense or the drive to get them through. But so far, I'd probably say 1-2 hours into their journey, she has everything that they need until a huge gust of wind and sudden downpour, exactly like she anticipated, forced them to stop in their tracks. And she advises them to go through and set up their tents. And so this is where I'm at, Robbie. I think they're going to set up their tent and wait through the storm. They're going to make sure that they are safe. And as they're wading through that storm, Evelyn reaches out. It's now 6 a.m. They've been there for several hours. And she says, "Okay, I think we're through, so that we can keep on going." And of course, the only thing that Evelyn's after is to get paid, right? But she reaches into her pocket and realizes that the thing that she needed most was no longer there.
It's gone. The coin
was gone.
She reaches into her pocket and only feels her lucky toothpick that she always has there on hand at all times.
Yep. She pulls it out. She actually used the toothpick to kind of like clean up the coin, like get the grime out of the grooves.
One tip.
Yeah.
That helps is, and this is something I learned from Brandon Sanderson, who learned it from someone else. Good old Brandon. Mm-hmm. I make it sound like he told me personally. It was just one of his videos.
I'm pretty sure he told you personally, but you waited in line to get that book signing. And Brandon sat down and said, "Now, Robbie,
book signing.
I need to tell you something."
He did give me some great advice when I did talk with him in person. I do love Brandon Sanderson. But in his video, which is lectures, I do recommend it. Look up Brandon Sanderson lectures. Concrete details is a great way to seize an opportunity of character development and revealing. So in a scene like this, with when you said she went and she go gathered all of her things, that might actually be a great way to introduce. Like you said, like, and she went to go grab her things. Like,
yeah.
And concrete details is a great way to kind of not only give us an idea of who she is as a person, but also like, what does this journey entail? She grabbed a flashlight, a generator. And then she also grabbed teddy bears. I don't know, like something to throw it off or to like reveal her character. Maybe she brought a jigsaw puzzle because, you know, they're going to need to stay sane along the way. But those are ways, look for ways to use concrete details to either build the world as we're coming to know it, or to reveal something about your character. It's a great way to do that. So
yeah,
throwing that out there.
And other things that, you know, as Robbie and I would workshop through something like this, as we're trying to decide, where are we going to lean into the important parts of this story? Where are we going to develop this? I love to put in clues at this point about helping us see where the story is going to go before we get there, such as a safe pouch or a safe pocket. You know, the more safe that I can make where she stores this coin, the more it will be evident or the more serious it'll be when she actually loses it.
Exactly. And, you know, what Stephen and I just did right now is he and I took a second and we helped each other understand our creative process. I know just last week, Stephen blew my brain open with something that I do every podcast I wasn't even aware of. And he helped me understand it. And that was having more open-ended descriptions, which is something I struggle with. I didn't even know. And he stopped me and he was like, Robbie, why don't you go ahead and retell that? Keep it more open-ended. Give me something to latch onto. And it radically transformed the way I was creating these prompts for Stephen to pull from, these paintings that I do. So this is a part of
the process. And it helped with our episode too.
It does. So be open-minded to whoever you choose to be with, or just to yourself. Pay attention to what you're saying and be like, where could I improve? It's like learning a language.
That is what our process typically looks like.
That is.
We go through and it is much more raw. And what's really great about it is that we get to communicate about the way that we're telling stories and really help each other grow and get ready to actually go into each of the episodes. So, oh, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to wrap up. Keep going.
Oh, I was actually just going to wrap up too.
Guys, thanks for joining us. We're so happy to have you here. Just reminding you guys, this is not our new format. We're not doing this every time. This is just because
special.
we just wanted something easy because we're going on vacation and we're going to be out for a week. And so we're like, be nice if we didn't have to prepare a full episode and record something hard to edit.
Yeah. We put a lot of time and care into the editing of this podcast so that it's a very enjoyable experience. And this time we're like, okay, let's start and finish something fully in 30 minutes so that we can enjoy the holiday with our family.
Exactly. Guys, we appreciate you. If you want to follow us on our social medias,
please
on Twitter, just look up Creators PB Pod.
That's the one.
And also just Creators Playbook on Instagram or Facebook. We appreciate
That's
you
it.
Guys. Thank you.
You are wonderful. Any last things, Robbie, before we wrap up?
No.
Before we stop recording?
Yeah. Hey, we're, you know, Thanksgiving, we celebrate what we're thankful for here in the States. And we just want to say thank you guys. We pay attention. We look at the stats of who's listening where, and we get excited. So
we really do.
We see you and we appreciate you guys. Thank you.
We will be taking a week or two off in December. We haven't decided what those days are going to be yet. So stay tuned. We will announce that before we take those days off from this show. And we're just excited to get the year wrapped up so that we can start a new one.
Yeah, let's go. Thank you so much, guys. We appreciate you.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.